Malcolm and I came here, Avery Alexander was the granddaddy of the movement. So whenever Avery got ready to do something, we did it. And Avery taught us about the statues. And Malcolm is here carrying on that tradition. We've got more people in the country following him. And we hope that people will take on a progressive agenda. We're here now to talk about agenda. How do we move this city and this nation forward? So Malcolm, why don't you give us, introduce your panelists and let's give them all a big hand.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for coming out. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the work that we've achieved over the past 6 months. And we had a culminating activity on last Saturday, the People's Assembly, where we adopted a People's Fight Back agenda. And we're going to share that agenda with you today. But first we want to talk about some of our past successes, especially as it relates to the struggle to get rid of the four monuments to white supremacy in the city. From the very beginning, we had said that we were about taking down all symbols of white supremacy, and that we were not going to be satisfied till they are gone. And so with these four taken down, there's a lot of people in town talking about this is the end, but for us, this was just the appetite. We're going on to the main course, and it begins with, of course, the struggle to take down Andrew Jackson. And so tonight on our panel, we have myself. We will talk about and report on the People's Assembly process and our program. First of all, we're going to have Quest Moore, who is one of the leaders of taking down NOLA. He's going to give us a history of that struggle and what we've been up to. And finally, Angela is going to give us the chart. What do we need to do as we go forward? So we're going to begin with Brother Quest right here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good evening. Where Brooklyn at? Okay, that's what's up. Shouts out to the hometown. It's really good to have you here as youth participating in this movement. And let it be known that these youth are not only here to observe, but at least six of them are going to be working with us for the next couple of days in some of the very necessary outreach here. Give it up for that. So let that be a model for exactly what we've come here to do, which is not just share information, but to activate and to organize so that we can educate, agitate, and keep this movement going. So I'm going to give a very brief overview of the Taking Down movement. A lot of y'all have been participating in this for the last 22 months, actually about 23 months. We make our first birthday next month, July 17th. We are not even 2 years old yet, and yet in that short amount of time, y'all have seen some of the history that has transpired. And we know that two very important forces led to that. Not only the people power and the convergence of so many different people in this room, outside of this room, that have put their hands in this pot and stirred it up necessarily so, but also just the years. All right? The years and the years, the decades, at least six decades of resistance that precedes our 2 years that led us to stand on those shoulders and pretty much just, you know, get that slam dunk. You know, they passed it, all those generations, so that we were in position to actually make that change happen. So that speaks enough to the people power, but I want to speak very specifically to three different examples. I'm going to give y'all three, all right? Every time I finish telling a story, I want you to say power to the people. Let's get a little practice run right now.
Power to the people.
Say it like we still got a dozen monuments up. They got to come down.
Power to the people.
All right. So our story starts about July of 2015. After doing a series of flag burnings, Confederate flag burnings at Robert E. Lee, we took all that momentum and that energy and formed Taking Down NOLA. All right? In 5 short months, from July to December, we were successful in getting the city council to vote 6-1 to get 4 of the monuments to come down. All right? Now, in order for that to happen, it took a series of actions, a series of meetings that led to the actions, a lot of organizing. What I want to cite for y'all most importantly is the very specific ways that that organizing and the things that we chose to do led to very direct reactions from the so-called people in power, from the politicians that we democratically elect. Why is that important? because we're talking about a whole lot more than just symbols. We've got entire systems of inequity that Angela's going to speak to in a lot more depth later on, as well as Malcolm, that also need pushing. And what this has taught me, all right, as a school teacher of about 10 years now, is really the process and the nature of civic engagement. And if I could do it as a school teacher, then all the rest of us as organizers out here can definitely pitch in and make these kind of things happen. Case in point one, city council. City council made a statement directly after Mitch Landry made his statement. He made his statement in June of 2015. He said that four minors were up for removal. The city said there will be a 60-day period of public discussion about this. That 60 days came and went. By September, nothing had happened. What did we do? We took it in our own hands. We did our own three community forums, different neighborhoods all around the city. This was one of them. Alger's on the West Bank, which is going to be the site of one of our forums just like this. Craig Cultural Center, that was another one. And another one that we did was Uptown, Pigeon Town, Holly Grove. So every time that we went out, we engaged people, we canvassed, we talked to folks, we found out that New Orleans has a whole lot more informed people than we give ourselves credit for. We got aunties, uncles, grandmas, cousins out there who know all about this kind of history, but because of the nature of state-sanctioned oppression for decades, if not centuries, all right, there's this culture of fear. There's a culture of silence, all right, that has stopped us from being able to speak our truths in a public space. One of the themes of our work is to be able to not only speak our truths in a public space, but to act on it, such that if I don't want this symbol of oppression hovering over my children, I can have it removed. Because I'm a citizen here, I pay taxes, I put you in office, you work for me, all right? So with that kind of understanding, we pursued educating our public, and September came and went, October came and went, November comes around, Bayou Classic is in town. We very strategically organized big action during that time to make sure that while the city's eyes, or while the world's eyes are on the city, because tourism being one of the number one imports of the city, that's not something that they want everybody messing with their dollars or making them look bad. So we went in front of Andrew Jackson and we dovetailed the conversation to Andrew Jackson. Because we can't get no satisfaction. Past that, we went to Edie White. Edie White, who's a member of the Crescent City White League, murdered 3,000 people during the Reconstruction era. We left a white hood on his head so that people knew who this guy really is and what he actually represents. That kind of visual had a very quick response. Within a couple of days, the city that had been quiet for all this time all of a sudden had a date that they wanted to talk about these monuments, right? We contacted the city. We asked, okay, what time do we show up, right? Got a response from the city. They were like, you know, whatever time, we're not sure. It may not even happen. How did we respond to that? Digital activism. We created a meme. The meme said, well, it's been five public city officials, well over 60 days, and a whole bunch of people saying these monuments need to come down and you still want to discuss, all right? Some of the city council's people follow us on social media. What do you think happened after that? We got a very direct time within a couple of hours, okay? So we're talking about direct responses to the type of action that we did. That's case study one, power to the people.
Power to the people.
Case study two, Mitch Landrieu, our favorite mayor. This guy, he's a great talker, right? He says a lot of fancy things. Three great speeches, we can count them. The first one came in June 2015. The second one came December 17th, 2015, when that epic decision was made. And then the last one came recently on May 19th, 2017, when the statues came down. What all of these speeches have in common is a whole lot of nice talk with almost the counteraction happening in the way that you actually govern your city, all right? There's a direct connection between neoliberal policies, which is these policies that say they're all about enfranchising people and bringing more economic opportunity, but they actually get rid of the poor in order to do so, right? There's a direct connection between that and the system that has historically disenfranchised black people and poor people. If you follow the kind of governance that this city's government has been responsible for since Landry's been in office and before, and especially since Katrina, it has displaced black people. It has displaced the arbiters and the creators of culture. Those who are the pickers of the new cotton, the music, the food, all of the things that we create are in jeopardy at this point because of the type of neoliberal policies that this guy sponsors. So anything that he's saying needs to be looked at critically and through a very focused lens. But furthermore, we know personally that when we created the actions to create the public education, to get the people in the streets, we were directly contacted by the mayor's office. Not necessarily him, but maybe the police chief, maybe somebody who works directly for the mayor's office. Please, don't do that. Don't get all those people out on the street. Why are you being rabble-rousers? Why are you getting everybody all upset? People ain't upset about this. People upset, period. We helping them analyze why they're upset in the first place. This is a diagnosis of systemic oppression, all right? And so when we did those things and we saw that kind of action coming from him, but then he come back and say that these things are a plague to the city, and what do you tell a little black girl about the thing that she has to look up to that oppresses her? But what do you tell her about the neoliberal policies that also oppress her, coming from that same office, all right? So we call foul on that, we call suspect on that. And every time that we push against his agenda and call against some of that contradiction and that hypocrisy, we watch his conversation change. Furthermore, let it be known that none of the kind of speaking that he's saying, the entire agenda that he had to have these things removed, is based on an ordinance that goes back to the 1990s. It was created by organizers like Malcolm and the people that he organized with. You think he gave citation where he was getting that from? Not so much. All right? Mr. Landrieu is not going to make that kind of public statement. Public politicians, period, are not going to ever speak to the power of the people because it leverages the kind of conversation that they have to have after that. But they have to start giving props or giving credit to the people that actually gave them that information in the first place. Then it's going to influence how they have to engage us after that, because they realize that they have to be held accountable, that they will be held accountable. So it's very important that we take credit for our wins. We're not mad about the fact we didn't get invited to a speech. We don't want to necessarily be buzzed and hang out with the guy. But the point is this. If the public record holds that this white savior came in and swoop, knocked out all the racism, then the people that we canvass with and talk to every day don't believe that they have the power to do it themselves. They think a politician did that. They don't think that everyday educators like what you're looking at right up here did that, right? And so when we say that it's important that we own our own narrative, that's really at the heart of this entire struggle, is knowing that we own our entire narrative about history and about how things get handled in terms of public policy and governance. That's case study two, Power to the People.
Power to the People.
Last but not least, I want to speak to, if you had any doubts whatsoever about whether or not this kind of thing has a local, a statewide, a national, a global ripple effect, case study three. HB 71, SB 198, HB 292. What I'm referring to is a House bill, two House bills, and a Senate bill, all issued by the state of Louisiana. These House bills and state bills are three different cleverly designed ways to say that you cannot touch a white supremacist monument. The language is you can't touch a military veteran monument anywhere put up by the state. Say it again. In any war. But we know that specifically the war they're talking about is a civil war.
Right.
We also know that in terms of the civil war, there were two sides, right? But one side has 1,500 monuments all throughout the country, most of them in the South. The side that lost, the Confederates. The side that won, on the other hand, the Union, nobody knows that number, but it's probably a whole lot less, right? And so when they say these kind of things, it's coded language to try to perpetuate a system of white supremacist symbolism. And that symbolism serves as the picture, as the visual representation of the system that oppresses, all right? The state put that up, Louisiana. Now, because of some of the pushback, two of those failed. One of those is still standing. That's House Bill 292, all right? And so we know that that's not the beginning nor the end of divisive type legislation like that that's gonna always try to backdoor deal more white supremacist racism into our system. But because of some of the pushback, some of the organizing that we've been responsible for, not only is that the reason why that's written, but it's also the reason to shut down. Some of y'all might have heard about what happened when that HB 71 was first passed off to the Senate, and they were given access to actually talk about it. The Congressional Black Caucus got up and walked out in unison, all right? Why would they do something like that? Because they know who they're accountable to. When Malcolm calls up Joe Bouye, who's the head of the CBC, and thanks him for that act, Joe Bouye turns it around and thanks Malcolm for his activism, because that's the reason why they take that kind of stance. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
So we're talking about three very specific examples, and that's just some. That's just a couple of stories out of the hundreds of stories we could tell about the ways that what we do on the ground, in meetings like this, the activism after that. This is all conversation, right? This is all conversation that leads to action. This is human interaction. This is us getting out in the streets, telling people what it really is, sharing that truth, and watching that truth manifest into power, political power. We know that these symbols are just an entry point into a much bigger conversation. Angela's going to talk more about that in just a second. But when we're talking about a system, right, that reflects these symbols, we're also talking about the number one carceral state in the world's history. That's Louisiana, right? Where did they get most of their prisoners from? Right here in New Orleans. For me, it's always been a light bulb, right, to come down here and see some of the systemic inequity, right, to understand it in the context that it is after seeing that it's intentional. All of those monuments represent what their intention was. And then when you see how the legislation plays out, you see that it's not by mistake at all. No. All right? So listen real close. There's a lot more to listen and learn to. But the most important thing is not just to keep this information here, but to bring it out into the street, bring it into your organizing, and support what your efforts already are. Peace.
This past Saturday, the culmination of 6 months of organized activity, resulted in the founding of the New Orleans People's Assembly. This past Saturday, we had 150 people showed up at the Crescent City Boxing Gym, and we deliberated and talked about putting together a 10-point program that talked about what is needed to turn this city around. We said from the very beginning that our mission in the People's Assembly Organizing Committee was to organize the sleeping giant. And that sleeping giant, of course, is the black working class in New Orleans. And from that very beginning, we understood that we had to dig in deep, that this was not a quick flash in the pan event, that this was going to be something that we had to actually go out, knock on doors, sit on stoops, put up displays, and really talk to people, to listen to people, see what they had on their mind. And we also understood that New Orleans is not going to get any better unless we make it better. That insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. We have been elected black misleaders in this city for the past 32 years. They come to us with promises that they're going to do this, that, and the other for the black community. And what we find today is that in 2017, conditions are worse than they were in 1970. 1995 when they started electing, 1975 when they started electing black elected officials. So we are in the growing out of our activity around J20. We organized a demonstration in the city, one of the largest demonstrations that has taken place in the city for a long, long time. More than 5,000 people gathered together, marched in the streets of New Orleans, proclaiming that we reject the Trump regime. We reject the capitalist system exploiting the working class. We reject imperialist war. We reject the oppression of women. That we stand for progress all along the line. And what we decided to do was that we were not satisfied with calling our activity an anti-inauguration activity for Trump. It was actually the inauguration of our unity in this city to press forward with a progressive agenda to bring about a change in the city of New Orleans. And so what we were able to accomplish this past Saturday, and I think everybody has a copy of this. If not, it should be, can get somebody to pass them out. But this is our New Orleans People's Assembly Fight Back Manifesto 2017 to 2018. And basically what it is a 10-point program that talks about what we demand manifested in the type of budget you adopt. But the budget that's adopted and ran for in this city is a budget that prioritizes locking black people up. And we have got to turn that ship around. But we also understand that to turn the ship around, you just can't spin it around. It takes time. And we understand that. And we are building the People's Assembly as a fighting organization that fights on behalf of the workers of this city to make our lives better. Because we understand that these capitalists who are bringing in billions of dollars a year in the hotel, motel industry, in the tourism industry, where we got 80,000 people working, and most of these 80,000 people have to work two jobs to keep a roof over their head. And we're saying that that is not right. And we need to build a city. They're complaining, had press conferences today, complaining about the number of people who were killed over the weekend. But instead of pointing the finger at those and blaming these kids and for what happened this weekend, we have to say that the crime is the climate that created this self-hatred that's reflected in the number of shootings over this past week. We should also say that this is a preference to our demands. For any elected official or office holder, we call on you to support this program or move out of the way as an obstacle. We lean on the power of the people, our time, energy, resources, and votes we use to achieve our program. Here's our program for 2017. We oppose all forms of jail and prison expansion. We oppose the current DA, Canizero, who must be removed from his position. And we oppose imperialist wars that suck the taxpayers' resources from being proactively invested in the well-being of humanity. And these are our demands. Number one is year-long jobs, recreation, mental health services for youth and adults, and an adult public jobs program that with at least 10,000 public jobs at a living wage of no less than $15 an hour. The second, we want rent control and a rollback on taxes pre-Katrina levels for households under $75,000. We have a situation in the city right now where people's property values have gone up, and of course people's retirement income have not gone up. And we say that it must be tied to what you can afford to pay, especially for those long-time residents in New Orleans. We need to make sure that people don't lose their houses because of the gentrification that's going on in this city. Number three, we want 100% funded relocation of Gordon Plaza residents who live on the life-threatening toxic land that is too dangerous for human life. Most environmental issues are human-made and must be corrected and prevented. We, of course, are against the president and all his deniers. Number
for?
We support the hospitality workers' bill of rights to be city approved and honored in practice, which basically is trying to make sure that those people who work in the hospitality industry have a minimum wage and job protections and places to make sure that they can live a decent life. Number five, we want full funding and building of 40,000 homes for former residents of New Orleans pushed out after Katrina.
Say that again.
We want 40,000 homes for former residents of New Orleans pushed out after Katrina. Number six, we want fully funded, quality, community-controlled public schools. We're sick and tired of these private charter schools, all right? Number seven, we want improved and timely 24-hour RTA bus routes, especially in New Orleans East and Algiers.
What you say? Say it again.
We want improved and timely 24-hour RTA bus routes, especially in New Orleans East and Algiers, with improved bus stops that provide adequate seating and protection from inclement weather, along with pothole-free streets. All right. Yeah. Number eight, we want full funding and our building of 124-hour community-based child care centers across the city. We know that we've got many shift workers, and if you work at night, you have to rely on family members to take care of your children. And we say that we're trying to build a city that is friendly to our children. And in order to do that, we've got to have 24-hour child care available at public expense for our children. All right? Number nine, we want New Orleans to serve as an official sanctuary city so that all residents are safe from all forms of state-sanctioned violence or deportations, and where traffic profiling cameras are also abolished. All right? No more traffic cameras, all right? And finally, we're going to call accountability and close the consent decree for all police who operate in Orleans Parish. You know we have a violent history of police terror here in the city of New Orleans, and we want to maintain the consent decree, and this is something that we're about. But this is our 10-point platform. Take this, use it, discuss it with people, have your churches to adopt it, have your neighborhood or association to adopt it. And when we go to these politicians, when they come around the campaign, we ask them, where do you stand on the people's agenda? Do you support the people's agenda? If you can't support the people's agenda, we can't support you.
All right. That's right.
In a moment when the skies are gray, when I feel like running away, I close my eyes, start to bob and sway. In a moment when the chips are down, open my mouth, I can't make a sound. I clap my hands, rise and stand and say, I know the one love lives in me. I know the one love lives in me. I know the one love lives in me. I know the one love. Hey, in a moment when you can't decide, a moment all torn up inside, quiet your mind, let your love light shine. I know the one love lives in me. I know the one love lives in me. I know the one love lives in me. I know the one love. Love, love. What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to say? If I'm lost at sea, I say, hit me, hit me, hit me,
out for hit me, hit me, hit me. Go on, hit me, hit me, hit me. Go on, hit me, hit me, hit me with the love and I won't feel no pain. I know that one love lives in me. I know that one lives in me. I know that one love lives in me. I know that one love. I know that one love lives in me. I know that one love lives in me. I know that one love lives in me. I know that one love.
Where you can truly talk about thriving. Now, somebody who's a millionaire will look at this and say, this stuff doesn't matter, right? But somebody who's working really hard to make ends meet, who has to use the RTA and spend hours waiting for it, hours on it, only to get to their job, not be paid a livable wage, then try to figure out how to put the pennies together to pay the rent, that's way too high in the first place, only to keep doing that over and over again and try to figure out how they're going to maintain with their children in the process, and then wonder why people are struggling with their children to be able to do the things that the upper rich ruling class can be able to do with their children on a regular basis and not have to think about it. So what I'm asking you to do today is to really open your mind and hearts to what's needed for everyday working people to be able to make it in this city in a way where folks shouldn't have to think about how they're gonna pay their bills. They shouldn't have to think about childcare. They shouldn't have to think about transportation for a job, right? When you might be paying more for transportation because you know the RTA doesn't work, therefore you pay your neighbor $20 to get to a spot or an Uber, which is really ridiculous when there are millions of dollars that come through this city that should make our public transportation worthy. But this is a comprehensive approach to say that in order for people to organize and have a tool to organize around, and for no one to just come and say, you know what, I believe in children, I believe in families, I believe in better this, that, and the other, all we want to, we don't want to have a long, drawn out conversation. We want to know, where do you stand with these 10 points? We want to know how we can get the city budget to be reversed. We want to know how we can get it to the point where instead of investing 63% of our budget into reactive measures, we can have proactive measures. So for all of the people who saw us 2 years ago when we were talking about removing symbols to white supremacy, and there were people who looked us dead in our eyes and said, doesn't matter, plus you're never going to be able to get Robert E. Lee down, not in your lifetime at least. We're here to say that anything is possible if you believe that it is. And anything is absolutely possible if you're able and willing to align your actions with the belief. So we have said time and time again, and I want to put this out here because people always leave off the second part of this. When Take 'Em Down NOLA was doing and is still doing Take 'Em Down NOLA's work, the whole purpose was for the removal of all symbols to white supremacy from the landscape of New Orleans as a much necessary part of the struggle toward racial and economic justice. But people don't want to talk about the racial and economic justice part. And then when people do talk about the economic justice part, they say, this is what we should be doing. This is what we should be doing. This is what we should be doing. We don't want to talk. We don't want to talk. We're saying, we're right here, what are we going to actively do to do this, to secure this work? What are we going to actively do collectively to put pressure on those who say they want our votes, they want our time, they want the sphere of influence and authority, but are not held accountable? The final thing about this is that this doesn't happen by osmosis. This is not going to happen just because we put it on paper and we say we want it to happen, just like the monuments don't come down overnight. It takes activists who are not just protesters, but are organizers, who are willing to put forth the time and effort to push for this in spite of the challenges. And we know that it's possible because we've had enough practice now. We've had enough practice to know that if you are consistent over time, you can achieve progress. And the more people have tangible wins, the more they will feel encouraged. There are a number of people who felt encouraged by seeing those monuments come down. But now, how much more encouraged are you going to be when you get a living wage? How much more encouraged are you going to be when you've been living on toxic soil for 20 years and you're actually moved off of the toxic soil? How much more encouraged are you going to be when all of the money you work so very hard to make isn't just watered down and souped up and sucked up by your ability just to make it from day to day to live? So we're here to say to you that if you're interested in actively becoming a part of the work, we need you. There are some forms that are in the back that are going to be circulating that are asking folks if you want to sign up to actively organize. Because you can come to this meeting and you can feel really good about it, or you can say, how can I use my sphere of influence to help push this forward? This is not our agenda. This is a People's Assembly agenda, and it took 6 months for us to even get to this point, revise it, go back, revise, all the way up until June 3rd. So the folks who have the red t-shirts on in the room that say June 3rd, that was just phase one, because this is long-term work. Phase two now is the active outreach to make sure that everyone truly understands this agenda, understands this manifesto, and is a part of the process in making a reality. So we have a number of people who've already signed up to help people understand the nuts and bolts of each of these 10 points and be able to flesh it out for the person who can tolerate the 70-page document that'll accompany this, right? But when you're on the corner talking to somebody, having a conversation, you can't give them a 70-page document and say, go. We gotta be able to speak to the issues, make sure that people are actively engaged and know what they are, because here's the thing. Everybody who's affected by this, they already know what they are. But we're fighting one issue at a time. One issue at a time, one issue at a time. If you're fighting for housing equity, you could put this in front of whoever wants to have a conversation with you and say, where do you stand on all of these things? Because then we're not prepared to compromise on any of these things.
All right.
Second thing, this Wednesday night, along with every Wednesday night, there's a standing meeting at the People's Assembly office, a space that we use to organize at 6:30 p.m. So on the corner of Esplanade and Claiborne, 1418 North Claiborne. If you want to be actively engaged in the outreach process and you want to be a part of making this a reality, we ask that you join us on Wednesday at 6:30. The other thing that we ask you, 1418 North Claiborne.
Across the street from Manchu.
Across the street from Manchu. Make that real plain. Make that real plain for the people. There's also another flyer right here that says symbols and systems worthy of our people. Today is this first community meeting after 6 months of being able to develop this agenda. Knowing that even though all of the residents of Orleans Parish are not always going to make it to a meeting like this, even though we have a full room today, we are still not everybody. So this required conversations with people on porches, on corners, all that stuff to synthesize it into something that can work in a comprehensive way and push forward, right? So we also have this flyer that's also in the room and circulating around that talks about symbols and systems worthy of our people. Our first forum is here today at Christian Unity Baptist Church. The next forum will be at the Crescent City Boxing Gym in Central City. The next forum will be in Gentilly Library. We have a forum on the West Bank at Craig Cultural Center and another forum at New Orleans East Public Library. We're doing three things. We're taking these forums around the city. We're also prepared for knowing that everybody's not going to make it to all these meetings, but we plan to fill the room every single time. And if we can't fill the room, we want to be out on corners, on porches, doing the same thing we got to get here. This is phase two. But we need your help. There's some of you who are in this room because you were with us on June 3rd. You came here today and you brought some friends. And we're so grateful for the young people because we're always trying to find out how we can loop young people into this fold so we can continue to pass the baton to keep this work going. So that those of us who've been activists for a while, we don't have any excuse to get burnt out because there's so many people engaged in the work that when I need a little break, somebody else can carry it on for me for a few days and I can come back in and we can keep the train moving because they want to burn us out. They want us to get fed up. They want us to get frustrated and they want us to believe that this is not possible. But I'm here to tell y'all today, this is possible. Just like Robert E. Lee came down.
All right.
This is possible. This is possible. And the final thing I'm going to say to you all today is I want you to know and I want you to believe what Quest and Malcolm have shared. The people have the power. And we have to believe that as people, we are worthy that this become a reality. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the stuff that's in this agenda is the bare minimum expectation, y'all. This is not even no great. We didn't ask everybody to live in a mansion. This is the bare minimum expectation. But do we believe that the people of Orleans Parish, a predominantly black city, is worthy of this?
Oh yeah.
Because if you don't believe that the people are worthy, you're not going to fight for it. And if you do believe that we're worthy, you are going to fight for it. You're not going to compromise. And it becomes important to remember the people are worthy. It becomes important to remember the people have the power, because if we believe anything otherwise, we self-sabotage. But if we believe that it's possible, we're going to line up our actions accordingly. And we're gonna make this thing manifest so that at the end of 2018 and 2019, we are not looking at the same city budget and we're holding people accountable.
That's right.
For making this real. Amen and ashe?
Amen. Amen.
Don't let the applause stop. Let's let it keep rolling.
All right.